University Galleries in Uptown Normal hopes to focus your attention on a selection of works from photographers and videographers in their summer show, Lens-Based, Recent Acquisitions to the Permanent Collection, up now through August 8th. Kendra Pates is the gallery's director and chief curator, and she says the permanent collection holds thousands of works of art that are available for students and faculty to study, and oftentimes selections are available to the community to view and appreciate. In an increasingly digitized world, Pates says it's exciting for anyone to get up close to an artist's work.
Nothing really compares to seeing a work in person, seeing the texture of it, seeing the subtleties of it, seeing the actual quality of, in this case, of the printing, or sometimes you see the handling of a work. You see these traces of the
fingerprints and that sort of thing.
Yes, yes. This exhibition features several works that we've recently acquired. These are not all the works we've acquired since 2012, but works selected among what we've acquired since 2012, both through purchase and through donation. Some collectors.
That's nice that people donate.
People donate, yes. A university gallery or university museum is an amazing place to donate either artwork or funds to support the program, support what we do with the community and the students and for the artists. So some collectors, for example, Yuri and Zoe Gurevich, their daughter Hava was a student here studying photography. She studied with Rondell McKinney. She was part of the Rural Documentary Photo Collection, part of that whole program. And they started donating works from their personal collection in honor of Hava. And so then that's like a nice way to serve the students at the university, but also thinking about a legacy, you know. So in the gift, donors can stipulate, you know, I want this text included. So on all of the photos that came from the Gurevich collection, for instance, it says it was donated by them in honor of their daughter, Hava Gurevich. And so that continues in perpetuity, you know, on the website and the labeling.
Let's talk about, why did you decide to focus exclusively on photos and videos for this show?
Well, we have seen a significant increase in donations in photography over the last several years. You know, we have some really fantastic works by some historic photographers. We have August Sander, we have Ilse Bing, this really dynamic female photographer who I wasn't really familiar with, to be honest, until we started getting these donations. I started researching her, and then I was walking through a collection show at the Whitney Museum in New York and stumbled across three of her photographs, and that was really exciting. And as I started looking into her, you know, I was reading her bio on the International Center of Photography website, and they talked about her being among the first to use the electronic flash and the 35mm camera and to use solarization. And she purchased a Leica just 3 years after it was introduced to the public.
So she was a sort of a groundbreaker, or she was in the vanguard.
She was, and we have several of her works.
Let's look
at them. So one of the things that I really focused on trying to think about too is celebrating the accomplishments of female-identifying artists and of artists from underrepresented populations. And so there are several works by women in this exhibition as well, including Ilse Bing. And this one, Plein Air Painter, was from 1952. And this is a piece that was donated. And as we were going through our flat files, we came across this one, and Lisa, our new registrar, Jessica, our new curator, and I just sort of took a breath. You know, it was really exciting, not only because it's by Ilse Bing, but it's depicting a woman artist out in the landscape. So plein air painter, this is a painter who's just working out in the landscape, working from real life. But we see her from the back. So it's not something that's focused on this woman's beauty. For instance, this is focused on
her work.
Her work, her skill. You see the box set up just on a quick little folding chair, you know, this sort of impromptu studio where she saw something she wanted to capture in the landscape, this sort of craggy tree. So you see the box of her paints, you see her reaching into them. You see the actual painting, you see the landscape around her. And this is a vintage silver gelatin print. So we have a range of different printing techniques on view here, too.
So what is silver gelatin? What's the importance of that?
Well, this would have been made on film, and then the silver gelatin process is a very specific printing process using chemicals, darkroom, and then some of the photographs by some of the contemporary artists that we've exhibited, and they've either donated to the collection or we've purchased from them. Some of those are archival pigment prints, some are chromogenic prints, but some of those were made using digital processes. And we have it paired here with an August Sander piece from 1929, which also represents an artist at work in the studio. So the Bing is from 1952, the Sander is from 1929, and this is one that was reprinted in 1974 by his estate. This is the artist Heinrich Horley painting the boxing champion Hein Damgurgen. So here we see, again, the artist at work. We see this sort of profile view of the artist Heinrich Horley, and we see him standing at his easel. We see the boxer facing him, so the boxer faces right out at us, and we see the representation. So we see the drawing that he's making, the portrait of this particular boxer. So two different presentations in terms of the way that the view we have of the artist, or, you know, in the Bing, you can't actually see the tree that she's making. You maybe see the trunk.
We're trusting the artist there.
Right. And here you see the resemblance between the drawing he's making and the person who's posing for the portrait.
And I love the boxers there wearing knickerbockers, which is, you know, something that people did in the 1920s. So here we have this wonderful vintage photo. But of course, there's been so many strides made today with digital photography. Can you show me some examples of what you've added to the permanent collection of digital photography? That's probably, maybe this is why we're seeing more photographs and being donated, because photography has become perhaps a little bit more democratic.
You know, it used to be that to have an image of your loved one, you had to have the money to pay a portraitist, you know. So suddenly, with the invention of photography, we found that people could have representations. They could carry an image around. They wouldn't have the hundreds and thousands that we are now surrounded by. This piece, you and I have actually talked about before. So
it's from Carrie Schneider.
It's from Carrie Schneider. So this is a piece that I've actually exhibited before at University Galleries. I've worked with Carrie in a variety of ways, including organizing her first survey in 2015. So the first comprehensive look at her work and making a book. So she has really graciously just donated this piece to our permanent collection. It's from her Burning House series. Carrie is an artist based in New York, but she made this series over the course of a few years by traveling to rural Wisconsin, to this area where her grandfather had actually been a part of the Civilian Conservation Corps. So these trees you see in the background, He helped plant those. So when we're looking at this, again, this is one across a whole series, but the particular image we're looking at is called Burning House, October Afternoon. We're looking out across a lake on a fairly clear day, but central in the frame, we see this tiny island and a small house that's, the back of it is engulfed in flames, and this black smoke is drifting over to the left. So it's kind of mysterious, you sort of wonder about it. For Carrie, she would build these houses herself. So she did this. She would row out there. Yeah, so she did this 12 or 15 times, built a house. I think it's 6 by 6 by 8 feet, because she could physically build it and transport it herself. So it was really important that as a woman, she could build it, she could take it out there, she could do all of these steps herself. And she would set up two tripods and record a still image and a moving image. So there's also an accompanying film where it transitions between all of these different times. This is one of our two most recent acquisitions, so we were really excited to be able to feature this.
Since so many of us can walk around with our phone in our pockets and at any moment whip them out and take photographs, and so many phones these days allow us to get creative and artistic with our photographs, what do you think people who come in here to view these will take away as inspiration?
I think that's a great question. You know, we tried to have a range across different practices. You know, we have this Danny Lyon print, Cal Elkhorn, Wisconsin, which is really complex. There's so much happening in it visually. He's using the mirror to reflect the person who's depicted. And then next to it, we have this very spare piece by Jason Lazarus called Eric Becklin, First Human to See the Center of Our Galaxy, that's primarily a large white photograph. And then there's a portrait of this astrophysicist, Eric Becklin, in the middle. So it's very spare, very simple, but all of these conceptual strategies at play, where Eric is in white, he's got this long white hair, very pale skin, but you're really drawn in this big field of white to those piercing blue eyes. But I think we see different ways of constructing an image, different ways of depicting a person. You know, there are a lot of photographs in the show that are figurative. So thinking about what's put into the photo, what's left out, where is the cropping? How much of the story do you tell through the items that are pictured, or how much do you tell through a caption? So if you're putting something on Instagram, how much do you tell in, you know, what you're posting or what you're hashtagging with it, in the way that an artist is using a title?
That's Kendra Pates, University Gallery's director and chief curator. She says in the corner of the galleries, they've set up a reading nook for visitors to learn more about many of the artists on display. Lens-based recent acquisitions to the permanent collection is up now through August 8th. I'm Laura Kennedy.